First Corinthians tonight, if you have your Bibles, the book of First Corinthians, chapter number 4. I appreciate the privilege to be in the tabernacle tonight, and it is wonderful to come and be able to hear good singing, this congregational singing that we've heard tonight. I echo what the brother said. You've done a fine job. And I'll contribute to the bus fund if you want to go ahead and take up an offering tonight. I'll be your first dollar and be your first booking. Amen. Come share this at the church. But I say that jokingly, but I'm telling you the truth. You've done a wonderful job tonight. And it is wonderful to be here and see all these good churches come together. And what a blessing it's been to be in the house of God this morning on this Father's Day. And good to see you here tonight. And appreciate Brother Tony and the extended invitation to be back again here this year. And sure do miss Brother Charles. Thank God for the good memories that we have of him. I remember when he called me last year about coming to preach, and he said, "Boy," he said, "all you got to do is come preach." Yeah. He made it sound so simple. I love that, don't you? Yeah. I was raised by an old-time preacher, and I can identify with that kind of stuff, and I love it. Amen. And I miss Brother Charles, and I give my condolences to the family and appreciate them and love them. But I'm thankful for Brother Tony, and appreciate the good invitation to be here this year, and looking forward to the nights that are left in the meeting. And I know you had a good meeting. You had some great men of God here, and I sure do appreciate what has already took place in the meeting thus far. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you're willing and able, I would ask that you would stand tonight. And by standing, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word together. I got in the truck to come this way this evening, and I appreciate Brother Bobby and Brother Johnny and my second to oldest son, Jacob, being with us tonight. But I asked Brother Johnny, I said, "Do you know what I'm preaching on tonight?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Neither do I." And so sometimes it's like that, and I just meditated and thought coming down the road, and I couldn't get out of my heart what I was dealing with this morning at the church. And so I want to share this with you. It'll be rehearsed for them, but I hope the Lord would add his blessings to it tonight. But this is what I was dealing with this morning, and it's in the vein of Father's Day, and I hope the Lord would help us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I want to look in verse number 14. I'll read three verses of Scripture. And what I do tonight, I will not be long in doing. The Bible said in verse number 14, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." I want to ask Brother Dwayne Stott. Brother, would you pray for us tonight? Oh my, Lord, would you help us tonight? I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me and fill me. Lord, you would unctionize us. Oh Lord, I pray for this meeting. Lord, do in it what only you can do. Lord, please help us. Oh my. God, help us.
Save them by your mercy and your grace, and we'll give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. You can be seated, and I appreciate you standing as we read the Word of God together. Paul is writing to the Corinthians to deal with their problems. And he is writing to bring them into conformity to the truth of God. For four chapters, Paul has dealt with their pride. Paul has dealt with their carnality. Paul has dealt with their love of human wisdom. He has dealt with their spirit and their quarrels. In the church at Corinth, you'll find that there were fractures in the church. What I mean by that is there were breaking, there were divisions, there were separations in the church at Corinth. There were not only fractures in that church, but I would say that there were frictions that were in the church at Corinth. In other words, there was conflicts, there was animosity that was caused by a clash of wills or temperaments or opinions. There was also in the church at Corinth frustrations. There was fractures, there were frictions, and there was frustrations. There was those that had the feeling of being annoyed or upset. The Bible said in chapter number 1 and in verse number 10, you find all three of these in these three verses of Scripture. But the Bible said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The Bible said in verse number 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." In those three verses, you find fractures, you find frictions, and you find frustrations. If these things are left unaddressed, they will lead to a fight, they'll lead to a feud, or a falling out. Now, I believe that sometimes these words might characterize our churches at some time, but they should not be something that define us all the time. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I don't want my church to be known as a church that is full of fractures and friction and frustration. As a matter of fact, I'd say when these describe a church, I would say the sovereign is dishonored. I don't believe these traits brings honor to God. Do you? As a matter of fact, I believe it is very displeasing unto God when a church is characterized by these traits. It will not only bring dishonor to the sovereign, but I'd say the Savior is disgraced. I'd say the saint is discredited, and the sinner is disregarded. If these things define a local assembly, then the people has no mind for those that are on their way to hell. And I don't know about you,
But I still believe that is the main reason as to why we do what we do. As a matter of fact, I'm preaching tonight in hopes that God will take His Word by the Holy Spirit and prick the heart of somebody that is on their way to hell. That ought to be in our heart tonight. Why you sing, why you preach, why you teach, it is in hopes that God Almighty would reach down and save one from hell. 1 Corinthians is not only a letter dealing with problems in the church, but it also maps out the patterns of the ministry. Now, the church at Corinth was under an attack. It was under an attack from without, and it was under an attack from within. Have you ever seen a day in which the church is under more of attack? I mean, brother and sister, it seems like the pastors are under an attack. It seems like the members are under an attack. Anybody that's doing anything for the cause of Christ, I'm telling you, we're under an attack in this day and age. But Paul was not going to sit by and allow this attack to go unaddressed. But Paul was a type of man that would attack the problems. And brother and sister, that is what you and I ought to do tonight. We ought not sit by and just allow the world and Satan to attack the church and not address the problems. But you and I ought to attack those things that are attacking us. Paul as the minister, Paul as the pastor, Paul as the steward is attacking those problems. There are several metaphors that describe the minister or the steward, pastor, or what I'm trying to get to, the father. That is what Paul was. To those at Corinth, he was their spiritual father. Now you'll find in chapter number 3 and in verse number 6, there is the metaphor of the farmer. The Bible said in chapter number 3 and verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now what Paul is saying there is that there are diversities in the ministry, but you and I should be united in the purpose. Oh yes, there's one that comes along and they will plant the seed, and then there'll be another one that'll come along and they will water the seed. But I'm telling you what all should ignite you and I is that God give the increase. That is what I want to see in this, in these next few nights of meeting. I'm telling you, there's no doubt been some seed sown and there's been some watering of that seed. But brother and sister tonight, wouldn't it be good if God Almighty would give the increase? You and I are nothing. The one that plants is nothing, and the one that waters is nothing. But I'm going to tell you, it is God tonight. If anything is accomplished, it'll be because God has given the increase. There is the metaphor of a farmer. There is the metaphor of a framer. The Bible said in verse number 10 of chapter number 3, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. There is a metaphor of a framer. And that is what Paul was doing for the church at Corinth. He was building upon that foundation that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you're building on any other foundation, you're building on the wrong foundation. As a matter of fact, it's not the builder that decides the size, the shape, or the strength, but it is the foundation that is laid. And aren't you glad, hallelujah, for those that have built upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And may I say tonight, what a sure foundation that we have in the Lord Jesus tonight. I'm glad all other ground is sinking sand, but on Christ the solid rock I stand tonight. And what a foundation we have in the Lord Jesus. There is also tonight the metaphor that is used not only concerning a farmer and a framer, but there is a metaphor that is used concerning a father. We are here tonight on Father's Day, and Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he said, though you have 10,000 instructors, and no doubt there was in Christ, yet ye have one father, or yet ye have not many fathers. Or he's saying you have only one father. Now, I only have one father tonight. Earthly, I only have one father. Spiritually, I only have one father that brought me to the Lord. And heavenly tonight, I'm glad we only have one father. Hallelujah. And there's some things that you'll find out that makes that for you and I. And Paul says there's many instructors. There were many stewards. There were many slaves that would tutor and teach and train. But Paul said, you only have one father. There's not many fathers tonight. Now you think about from an earthly point of view, you only have one father. And you ought to thank God for him. Amen. My father's not in good health tonight. And I talked to him through text coming up the road and spent the day with him yesterday. Brother, I want you to pray for him. But my heart broke yesterday when I left. Brother Dwayne, he's not doing well. And that's the only father I have. And I sure am grateful that God allowed me to have the dad that I had, the father that I had growing up. And you ought to thank God for your father. He may not be what he should be, but he may not be what he could have been. You ought to thank God for your father tonight. So this describes the relationship of a spiritual father, but also it describes a relationship of a earthly father and a heavenly father. Paul, I see in these verses of Scripture, is expressing his feelings. He is sharing his heart. He said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I just want to say one thing tonight, emphasize this truth, and I'll be done. I want to say something about what marks a father. What is it that marks a father? What is it tonight that marks a spiritual father? What is it tonight that marks an earthly father? And what is it tonight that marks our Heavenly Father? Well, there's one thing that marks all three of them, and I'm glad to report into you tonight I have experienced it, and if you have not, you can tonight, and that is the love that is shown. The Bible said in verse number 14, I write not these things to shame you, and isn't that wonderful? As a spiritual father, that Paul was not wanting to make a spectacle, and though he spoke sharply and sternly with those at Corinth, it was not in his heart to shame them and put them into open shame. And I believe any earthly father that's got any kind of heart in him, I would never want to put his children to shame. I would never want to put any of my five children to shame. I don't believe you would tonight. And Paul is their spiritual father. He said, I didn't want to do that. And can I remind you tonight that not only will an earthly father not want to do that, and a spiritual father not want to do that, but I'm glad I got a heavenly father tonight that does not want to shame me. He does not want to make a spectacle out of me. Can I remind you that though he has forgiven everything, he knowed what we were before he saved us, and I'm glad that he doesn't bring that back up against us. Somebody say amen right there, because he could surely shame us. We ain't always had suits on. We ain't always had a Bible under our arm. Some of us was out in sin, and God could surely shame us, but aren't you glad he ain't natured that way? I say hallelujah for a God that loves us. The Bible says, as a spiritual father, as an earthly father, I believe we see as a heavenly father, he said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Oh, I'm telling you, there was a love in the heart of Paul for these at Corinth. He had seen them believe. He had seen them born. He had seen them baptized. And as a spiritual father, he had loved them. You ought to love those that has taken interest in your life spiritually. I'm telling you, that pastor that has mounted a pulpit and preached unto you the word of God and has led you to the Lord, you ought to thank God for that. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher that God used to lead you along the way. You ought to thank God for that tonight. That took interest in you, that loved you. I'm telling you, Paul said that he beloved them. He loved them. I'm glad as I left yesterday, I knew I had an earthly father that loved me. As a matter of fact, Brother Tony, he texted me and he said, son, at 6 o'clock I'll be praying for you. I said, well, Dad, please wait a little bit. I'm running late. I said, but I'm a... He said, well, I'll be praying for you about 6:30. I said, that's better. And I left yesterday. You know what I left knowing? I had an earthly father that loved me. But I'm telling you, we'll go a little bit beyond that. I'm glad to report into you tonight. I not only have an earthly father, and I've had a spiritual father in my life, but I'm glad I got a heavenly father. Amen, and he loves me tonight. I'm glad he loves me with an unchanging love. He loves us tonight. Oh, what a God. What a God that would love the likes of you and I. The Bible said in 1 John 3 and in verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Aren't you glad, thank God, that what marks our Heavenly Father is that he loves us. He loves you tonight. There is no love like the love of God tonight. God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I'm glad he loved me in my mess. Somebody help me now. I'm glad he loved me in that old sinful condition. I'm glad he loved me when I was unlovable, is what I'm trying to say tonight. The Bible said in John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad he so loves us tonight. And isn't it good to be loved of God? I'm glad he loves us tonight. There's nothing you and I could ever do to merit the love of God. And as a matter of fact, we can't measure the love of God. And I'm telling you, there's nothing in our own mentality and our own ability that could ever bring us into a place for God to love us in ourselves. But aren't you glad he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs and he loved you and he loved me. I bless his name tonight. We not only see what marks a father, I'll mention this, but can I say tonight what makes a father? What is it that makes a father? What is it that made Paul a spiritual father unto those at Corinth? What is it that made John Parker a earthly father to me? What is it that makes God my heavenly father? Well, it all revolves around one thing, that all three of them brought us to a place of life. Amen. I wouldn't be here tonight had it not been for my earthly father, for he was the agent that brought about life for me. I say hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord uses that human instrument to bring about physical life, and a physical father and a spiritual father has brought you to the Lord, brought you to that place where you can have spiritual life. And I say hallelujah for that, don't you? But what about our Heavenly Father? Man, I'm glad the preacher quoted that a while ago. That just settled that, Brother Tony, in my heart when you said that. Because you know what makes God our Heavenly Father is that he is the one that has given you and I life. He's given us life. Oh, yes. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, we were all dead in sins, were we not? The Bible said in Ephesians 2, and you, hath he quickened, hath he made alive. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, my God, tonight. Have you got too far from where you used to be? I'm telling you, Paul has given us the act of salvation here. He's given us the process of salvation. You who were dead, I'm telling you, for the saint of God, that's past tense. I'm glad that's something I used to be. I need somebody to help me right here, and I'm about done. But I'm glad I'm not dead no more. I used to be dead. I was in a hopeless, helpless, and a homeless situation. But I'm glad that's my past. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not dead. I'm glad he's given unto me life tonight. Woo! Oh my, listen to what the Bible says. Brother Tony, you can come. I'm closing here. Listen to what the Bible said. He said, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I like this right here pretty good. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1 starts out, and you. But I like Ephesians 2 and verse number 4. By God, I say hallelujah. Oh yes, we'll still be in our dead sins. We'll still be in that hopeless situation. But aren't you glad when I couldn't get to God, God come to where I was? I was dead. I couldn't climb up. I couldn't pull myself up. But I'm glad God come to where I was and butted in my situation. By God. By God. Hallelujah. But God what? But God, I say hallelujah, who is rich in mercy. You ain't got enough sin that His mercy won't take care of tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. He has made us alive. He is our Heavenly Father. I say bless His name. Brother Tony, you come.
As we're resting this evening for about an hour, and me and my wife and my little girl was laying in the bed there, and I'd laid down and I was like dozing in and out. And Nicole said, "Look at this." And she had found something that was on the news about a father. You might have seen it. I just seen it this afternoon. A father who had three little old boys. Seven was the oldest. I believe he's four and two. And for whatever reason, Brother Dwayne, for whatever reason, I said, "What motivated him to do that?" She said, "It don't say." But that father took those three boys and shot each one of them in the head. Killed all three of them. And she said, "Can you believe a father would do that?" I said, "I'm going to tell you that ain't a father." Boy, I'm glad I got a father that could have killed me, had every right to kill me, and I should be in the lowest and the deepest, darkest place of hell tonight. But God, hallelujah, He loved me and He gave me life. I didn't deserve it. I'm telling you, I'm still undeserving of it. But aren't you glad God loved you in spite of all of that that was in your life? God loved you and God loved me. I'm telling you, I'm about to have me a Sunday night fit. I'm glad I got a God that loves me. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. My goodness, what a God tonight. I say bless His name. What a God. Thank you, Brother Tom.